Documents released yesterday indicate that prosecutors in a John Doe investigation believe that Governor Scott Walker was orchestrating a sweeping fundraising and spending effort to help him and other Republicans survive the 2011 and 2012 recall elections.
Those documents have kicked off a heated round of reaction across the political spectrum and captured some national attention as well.
And with us to discuss this is Daniel Bice, a political columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes the Watchdog column. Thanks for joining us today, Daniel.
Sure. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. I want to start out. The documents yesterday, of course, indicate that prosecutors suspected Governor Walker and maybe some of his colleagues of orchestrating an illegal fundraising effort. In your estimation, as someone who has not just been following the story but working on it, what was the big news from yesterday? And beyond being interesting or titillating, what's its value?
There was a complaint filed, by one of the targets in this case back in February, trying to stop the investigation. And most of the complaint had been made public, and other elements of this have been made public. What was new yesterday was the prosecutor's response. The prosecutors responded by saying, "We think we had a legitimate case. We were asking for subpoenas, and we are pursuing this case for a particular reason." But when they filed this back earlier this year, their response was completely redacted. So we had no idea the outline of their case. Yesterday, the judge opened up that entire document so we could see for the first time what they thought was going on during the 2011 and 2012 recall elections.
And so in that outline, the case, the documents seemed to point directly at Governor Walker.
They pointed at three individuals. They pointed at Governor Walker and his chief campaign strategist, R.J. Johnson. R.J. has been a prominent Republican strategist in Wisconsin for 20, 25 years. And Johnson's top deputy, Deb Jordahl. Those were the three people identified. And then it also identified a couple of other organizations, including Governor Walker's campaign fund. And the point was they were arguing that there was a massive system to do a coordinated campaign in terms of fundraising during the recall elections. The prosecutors thought that what they were trying to do was illegal, that it would cover up the sources of the money that was being spent. And it involved as many as 12, maybe even more, conservative groups, and money would be shuffled among those groups. And when those groups would then do their get-out-the-vote efforts or when they were advertised on TV, you would see their names, but you wouldn't know who was actually behind it. Now, the targets, specifically Wisconsin Club for Growth, felt like what they did was perfectly legal. The response so far has not been to argue that this was not going on, as the prosecutors were suggesting. The argument is that what they did was not illegal.
And it's interesting, too. There was a flowchart that I encourage people to take a look at, published in the Journal Sentinel today, that outlines some of the complexity of this whole thing. And that's, you know, really for people who are trying to follow this, who aren't really following politics that closely, this is
right.
Confusing territory.
It is. I mean, even if you are following it, you know, last night when we were putting the chart together, I was trying to make sure all of the numbers were right and all of the groups were right. And you know, the only familiarity some people would have with a few of these groups is that they ran ads. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Issues Mobilization Inc. ran ads, but you know, the people don't know much about that organization. But the key parts are that the governor and his main strategists are at the center of this thing to shift all this money around. It is a quite complex scheme, as the prosecutor said, or effort that was put together by the various individuals in this.
And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the governor's reaction. Yesterday, in a piece that you published, the governor was unflappable on the campaign trail. Today, though, it appears as though he may have gone on the offensive a bit. We saw him on Fox Friday or Fox and Friends this morning, heard him on some Milwaukee radio this morning, and there was an opinion piece published this afternoon.
Sure. And just for a little bit of context, there was this is a John Doe investigation, which is a secret, supposedly secret, not secret anymore, but a supposedly secret investigation in which they can compel testimony and all of these. And there was one John Doe investigation that was launched in 2010. And the governor, during the first John Doe, remained largely silent and at one point said that he trusted the prosecutors to do the right thing, that he knew them and thought that they would do the correct thing. And he wasn't charged. He had a couple aides who were charged and convicted, but he wasn't affected. Now, during this John Doe, which started in August 2012, and it became public in a piece that I wrote in October of 2013, the governor has said repeatedly that he cannot he can't talk about the investigation because anybody involved in it would violate the secrecy order to discuss this. Well, this all changed yesterday after the release of the records and the news of what they were looking at specifically. The governor talked to the media and he pointed out that two judges have found that the case laid out by the prosecutors was inadequate or out of bounds. And then today, he's gone very much on the offensive. They bought $250,000 in TV ads that are airing throughout the state, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and elsewhere, starting today. And then he was tweeting last night repeatedly on this subject. He was on talk radio in Milwaukee, and he's written a column on the thing, and he's gone on national TV with Fox and Friends. So this is a full frontal response to what is going on.
Well, thanks so much for your time. We'll have to leave it there, Daniel.
Sure. Thanks for inviting me.
We've been talking to Daniel Bice, a political columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes the Watchdog column.